Please turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 1 through 20, and I'll be reading from the ESV version. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Pat, for reading our passage for us this morning. We appreciate that very much. I ask you to hold your Bibles in this place. We'll be here for most of our time this morning, looking at some other verses that complement this passage, but mainly we'll be staying right here in this particular place. We welcome everybody who's with us today. We do have a lot of visitors. We're so very glad for that. Mother's Day seems to be a big draw for visitors, but we are glad that you are here for whatever reason that you are here. Please count this as your invitation to come and be back with us any time that you can. We'd appreciate that very much, and we'd also appreciate, as Alan said, you filling out that visitor card for us. Over the past several years, there's been a dot-com company called Salary.com, and on Mother's Day, what they do is they put together a list of different jobs that the mother does in the house, and then they determine a salary figure as to what she ought to be worth. And the way they go about this is they just compile all of those different things that she does, and then they look into the job field, the job market, and whatever someone in that job market is getting paid, well, then they just tabulate that in with the rest of what the mother is to be paid or should be paid. Well, anywhere, the most recent one that I'm aware of, I know you can't see it on your screen there, but the most recent figure that I'm aware of estimates that mother should be paid $178,201 for her services. I just thought you ought to know that. Don't expect a check today. Don't expect one tomorrow. In fact, you'll probably never get a check for that amount of money. But I just thought you ought to know that's what your job is worth. The reality is your job is worth much more than that. And I'll be real honest, I've seen the job and I don't want it. There's a lot of jobs in being a mom. But we appreciate you so, so very much for all that you do in the home, for all that you do for raising up children in a right way, a respectful way, and for all that you bring not only to your home but to society as well. We appreciate that so, so very much. I hope in some way today you're honored, or maybe something has already occurred to give you some honor for the special contributions that you make. And so we appreciate that very much. When God brought the children of Israel out of their Egyptian bondage, He brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And at the foot of Mount Sinai, He began to merge these people, formulate these people who were in their Egyptian bondage, not a people. He began to formulate them into a people. And to do that, the very first thing that God did was to give this people a law. And that law is identified in the passages that Pat read for us just a few moments ago. And we know these as the Ten Commandments. These laws form the basis for how God would govern the people throughout the rest of their generations. And as they move particularly into the Canaan land that God had promised to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And so when you get to Exodus and the people leaving their Egyptian bondage, you're seeing God fulfilling the promise that He had made to these people, that they would be a great nation. And to do that, He gives them these Ten Commandments. Now, the first four of these commandments are at times referred to as the vertical commandments because they concern man's relationship to God. So as you look back over the list of the Ten Commandments, those first four, you'll notice, all have something to do with how we relate to God. The last six of those commandments are sometimes called the lateral commandments or the horizontal commandments because those commandments concern how we relate to one another. In some way, they're all tied to that. And those six relate to our relationship with fellow man. Honor your father and mother is the fifth of those commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. We must not think that the placement of the fifth command is accidental or incidental. It is in the place that is in by the intention of God, by the deliberate act to list these in the way that He wanted them to be listed. And the fifth one is honor your father and your mother. Some have called this the pivotal command. Some have called this the hinge command because it's situated right in the middle of all of these. It is critical to everything that goes before, and it is critical to everything that follows after. And so it's a very important command. And this fifth command concerns the home. It concerns honoring father and mother. Because it is in the home where children first learn about God, how to respect God, how to act according to God, what God requires of them. And it is in the home that children first learn about respect for others. And if children do not first learn these in the home about how to relate to God, about how to relate to others, it is likely that they may not learn it anywhere else. Our world is not going to teach children how to correctly relate to God. It's just not going to do it. The world does not teach that. The world teaches a very selfish philosophy. You do what is right to you. Never mind God. That's what the world teaches. Hollywood is not going to teach a right relationship to God and a right relationship to man. It's not going to teach that. You're not going to find it on social media. It's not there either. No, these are given by God for the purpose of having a God-ordained society. And if they are not taught in the home, then it's going to be difficult for people to learn it anywhere else. Honoring father and mother is fundamental, you see, for that relationship to God and that relationship to mankind as well. Someone made this statement one time. I've always appreciated it over the years. And they made the statement that home is where society makes up its mind. I like that. Home is where society makes up its mind. It's where society forms the ideas of the values that it has, the relationship to God, the relationship to others. Now, since this is Mother's Day, let's look at this fifth commandment. And I'll just simply title our time this morning, the fifth commandment. This pivotal commandment, this hinge commandment that is so important to our relationship to God and our relationship to those around about us as well. Now, this command is so important that it is actually quoted a number of other times in your Bible. We're just going to look at a few of them. It is quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 when God gave the law to Moses the second time. The book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. In fact, that's what Deuteronomy means. Deutero is second, nami is law. So the book of Deuteronomy is the second law. It is the second giving of the law. And you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 5 the repeat of all of these laws that God gave to Moses back in the book of Exodus. So you'll find it here. It is found in Leviticus 19 and verse 3, only with a little bit different wording. In Leviticus 19 and verse 3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So the same command, just expressed in a little bit different way. And if you go one chapter later, you'll find it this in Leviticus 20 in verse 9. "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him." A very strong injunction against those who would disrespect or speak lightly or curse father or mother. And then Jesus quoted it as well in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 10, when Jesus reaches back into that old law, that law of Moses, and he says, "Honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Jesus actually, in that passage, quoting the first part of Exodus chapter 12 in these commandments, honor thy father and mother, and then attaching to that the command in the book of Leviticus about not cursing your father and mother. And so this is a very important command, a command that concerns the home, a command that concerns the importance of the home. Let's look and see what we can learn from this very important command this morning. Now, I want to begin, first of all, by saying this, and that is that the home is built on father and mother. It's built on father and mother. A very simple expression, an expression that probably goes without saying, but it's here in this command, so let's say something about it. Our world has become so strange and so biblically off-centered that we just need to remind ourselves that the home is built on father and mother. The first five words of this fifth commandment contains the idea of father and mother. And in the same way that the fifth commandment is central to our understanding of the Ten Commandments, in the same way that this is pivotal to all the other commandments, so the first five words of the fifth commandment are pivotal to our understanding of the rest of the fifth commandment. And here's what I mean by that. God's way for the home is that the home is built on father and mother. That's God's way. And that fact is not accidental. It is not incidental, nor can it be altered. I'll be more specific. The home is not built on a man and a man. It's just not. Amen. Despite what our woke society may say, The home is not built on a man and a man, and neither is the home built on a woman and a woman, despite what our woke society might say. And we have to come back to this foundation because of the time in which we live. In our world with concepts like gender non-binary, gender non-conformity, gender fluid, polygender, and gender reassignment, and about 20 other terms that are used in our world today, we have to say something about the God-honored way of father and mother. The home is built on father and mother. Now, y'all may not even be aware of this. I wasn't till the other day. But there is actually an International Gender Non-Binary Day. Did y'all know that? An international day of that. It's actually July 14th, in case you're curious. But that's where our world has come to. And all of these different terms that are used, but that's not God's way. God's way is father and mother. And I'm going to make it real simple, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, but here it is. If you have a pulse, somewhere there was a father and mother. Is that right? That's right. You have a father and mother. Now, maybe your father and mother is passed on or something to that effect, but if you have a pulse, there was a father and mother somewhere, because that's all there is. There is no other way. But it's such a basic concept. It is important for a God-centered home, and it is important for a God-centered society. God created Adam and Eve, and through that He formed the very first home. And you'll find things like this then in your Bible. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. Male and female. A father and a mother. Here is Genesis 1 and verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Again, it goes without saying, but this command of Genesis 1 and verse 28 would not be possible without Genesis 1 and verse 27. Be fruitful and multiply is only possible with a father and a mother, with a man and a woman. That's the only way that happens. And despite what our world may say, this is the God-honored way. And without a mother and a father, there is no society. It cannot be. It cannot exist any other way. The home is built on mother and father. Now that's very simple. And I understand that it's very simple. But it's a part of this fifth command. And in our woke world, it is so important that we remind ourselves of God's way for the family. And God's way for the family is there to be a father and a mother. Secondly, let me say to you today that this command presses upon us the importance of honoring both father and mother. Did you notice that? Honor both father and mother. Now, what God says about the father and mother is connected by this word and. Honor thy father and thy mother. Two things joined together by this word and. So you honor both of them. You honor father and mother. Now notice, please, that of all of these horizontal commandments, these commandments that relate to our relationship with our fellow man, of all of the rest of these that follow, the fifth commandment in the list of 10 is actually the first of all the lateral commands, our relations to one another. And these connections are important because this is the one that comes first. Honor your father and mother. Because this commandment affects all the rest of our relationship to people around us. And how we learn to deal with people around us is based upon what we learn at home. And so we honor father and mother. You know, there'll be all kinds of people that come in and out of your life. Some of them will be very good people. Very sincere people. People who would give you the shirt off your back. People who will go out of the way to help you. There'll be some very good people in your life. There will be people in your life, not so much. They won't really care about you. They'll care more about themselves. They'll be insincere people. They'll be untruthful people. You'll have people like that who will come into your life. And beyond that, you'll have all kinds of relationships in your life. You'll have relationships between a teacher and a student. You'll have relationships between an employer and an employee. You'll have relationships that are on the line of community members, just friends you have around about you where you live. There will be relationships that you'll have, and within those relationships, eventually there'll be someone who's going to be your mate. And you'll have a lot of other relationships. Well, how do you learn to deal with those relationships? Well, God's way to deal with those, to teach children how to deal with those, begins at the home. You honor your father and mother. This is the first command that follows all the rest of these. Now, as you look at this word honor that I've highlighted on the screen for you, the word is actually a verb. It's a verb. And here's what that means. It is not necessarily addressing how we feel, but what we do. All right, it's addressing what we do. In fact, the attention of this passage is not really even on the father and mother, is it? The attention of the passage is on how we relate to father and mother, what we do towards father and mother. And what we do is we honor father and mother. The attention is based upon what you and I are to do, because this is God's commands. It doesn't matter whether father or mother have been exemplary people or not. The passage is not even addressing father and mother. It's addressing our relationship to father and mother. And what God says is you honor. Now, what helps shed a little light on that is that children, well, they're not always born into godly homes, are they? They're just not. Sad to say, but they're just not. Sometimes they're born into neglectful homes. Sometimes they're born into abusive homes. And I want to tell you, it's hard to have a good feeling about an ungodly parent. But you see, honoring them, respecting them, is not necessarily endorsing the kind of person that they are. The passage is not talking about how you feel about them as a person, but that you respect them because you're honoring God's law. To respect them, to honor them, is to honor God's structure for the home. This is God's template for the family life, that there be order and not disorder. Now, we can help ourselves even a little bit more when we look at this from the opposite direction. Here is Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen." Now that's a little bit of a challenging statement in the King James translation of the Bible. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother. And it's a little bit challenging because we don't talk like that. We don't express things like this. But the phrase literally means to treat them lightly or to disrespect them. To treat them without respect. And it takes in how we speak of them. It takes in how we deal with them from day to day. And so don't take them lightly is the idea. Here it is in the New King James Version of the Bible, where it says, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say amen." So the passage is dealing with not treating them lightly. The passage is dealing with treating them contemptly. And by the way, this passage, if you were to look in the context of Deuteronomy chapter 27, of treating father and mother lightly, this passage is within the context of some pretty ugly things. It's in the context of things like idolatry, stealing, perverting justice, adultery, bestiality, incest, putting to death innocent life, abortion. We think of the Roe v. Wade that is in the news today. It's put in the context of all of these kinds of things. And it's an ugly list, and we rightfully cringe. But in that list is don't take lightly father and mother. Disrespecting father and mother is very serious. In fact, Paul will carry that over into the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 28 and 32. It's kind of a long passage, but take the time to read it. Romans 1, 28 to 32. And you'll see there, as it's reflected back upon this situation in the book of Deuteronomy, it is a commandment for your life. It is a commandment for how we look at father and mother. Now, for just a minute, go back to this word honor again. I want you to know that this word honor is not only a verb, but it is a verb that is spoken of in a tense that represents the idea that it is without regard to time. Here's the importance of that. It doesn't end. The fifth commandment does not end when you turn 18 or 21 or 26 or whenever you leave the home. It doesn't end then. It is not something you just have to obey for a little while you're at home, and then when you get your own home, you don't have to obey this command anymore. This is a command without regard to time. It just goes on and on. All of your life, as long as you're alive, you honor father and mother. Here is Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother. Notice, please, when she is old. You know, our society as a whole doesn't really take as good a view towards the elderly as other societies do. Have you noticed that? I have a very good friend who is from Korea, and in that society, father and mother are honored in many different ways. And when father and mother become older, the family actually adjusts itself to accommodate the older parents and spend more time with them and help them in various ways. And our society, unfortunately, is not like that as much as it should be. But this is an important command, not even when they're old. So you respect them when they're in their old age. Jesus demonstrated this with his own mother. Joseph seemed to have died before Jesus' public ministry ever began. You don't find Joseph at Jesus' first public miracle in John chapter 2, the wedding in Canaan. But Jesus' mother was alive. And one of the very last things that Jesus did when he was hanging on the cross in John 19 and verse 27 is to look to the disciple John. He's not named in this passage, but the previous verses and the verses that follow help us understand it was John. Then saith he to the disciple, that is John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple, John, took her into his own home. One of the very last things that Jesus did hanging on the cross was to make sure that his mother was taken care of. Was Jesus superior to his mother? Well, sure he was. He was the divine Son of God. But here's what he did. He humbled himself in his dying breaths to honor the fifth commandment, to honor his mother at the foot of the cross. And knowing that he was about to die, that's one of the last things he took care of. And I just imagine from this point on that John and Jesus' mother, became very, very close. In fact, it was probably as close a relationship as it would have been to his own mother or her own son. You read about some remarkable mothers in the Bible, and then the Bible is full of some remarkable ladies who went on to become mothers. And some of these remarkable ladies that you can read about are actually ladies who were so good at mothering, they mothered beyond their own family. Paul will make the comment about a man by the name of Rufus, and he will say, his mother and mine. Well, it doesn't mean that Rufus's mother was Paul's mother. They're different mothers. But it means that Rufus's mother was so good at being a mother, she helped take care of the needs of the Apostle Paul. You say, well, that's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. Because she helped take care of a man who would write most of our New Testament. She helped take care of a man who would travel to several continents preaching and teaching the gospel message. She helped take care of a man who established congregations in many different places. And behind all that Paul is doing, there is the influence of Rufus's mother in Paul's life. We cannot underestimate that. He was honoring this woman as he lived out his life, as she had been so good towards him. And so we need to recognize that this command includes honoring both father and mother. Now let me give you one more thing from this passage, because there is one more thing here in this fifth commandment. And what's in this fifth command is there's a promise. The promise of honoring father and mother. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, that Paul will go back to the Old Testament and he will bring this fifth commandment forward into the New Testament time. Now we today, as well as those in the days of Paul, live under the law of Christ. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. We live under the law of Christ. The old law has been taken out of the way. It's been nailed to the cross. Colossians 2 and verse 14. And we don't live under that law. But even though we don't live under that law, what the Apostle Paul did is he goes back to this fifth commandment, and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he brings this commandment forward with a little bit different wording for it. And so he will say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then notice verse 2. Honor your father and mother. And then there's this little phrase in parentheses, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that what Paul says about obeying parents in the Lord is that this is right. It's just the right thing to do. In fact, it's not only right, but it's the righteous thing to do. It's how God has ordered for it to be within the family so that it can affect the society in a very positive way. And then he makes this statement that this is the first commandment with promise. Notice that, with promise. Now, this is not obviously the first commandment. The first commandment mentioned back in the book of Exodus didn't have anything to do with family relations. It has to do with man's relationship to God. This is not the first commandment, but it is, Paul says, the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. And this fifth commandment is so important because it is the commandment that is the key to all of our relationships to God, all of our relationships to people around us. And it in such a manner, it affects all these others. And so there's the promise that is with this. Actually, if you will notice, there are two promises. Look at verse number 3. That it may be well with thee, that's one promise, isn't it? And that thou mayest live long on the earth, that's a second promise. There's two promises. That it may be well with thee. Paul says that it may be well with thee. Now I suppose in one sense that's pretty obvious. What would it be like if children received no instruction or no correction from their parents in anything? In other words, they just biologically had them, but then left them to their own without any kind of input from them whatsoever. What kind of society would we be living in? Without the fifth commandment, society could not function. It just couldn't. There'd be no order. There'd be no orderliness. It would be chaos. It would be dysfunction. It would not only be a dysfunctional home, it would be a dysfunctional society. And so that promise is there to help understand that we may live long on the earth. And that's the second part of it, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, live long does not mean that every person that died young somehow dishonored his parents. It doesn't mean that. Paul was stating a principle that when children obey their parents in the Lord, and those children are taught godly values in the home by father and mother, then as they grow up, they will have learned the importance of correct behavior. And by learning the importance of correct behavior, they will save themselves from incorrect behavior, self-destructive behaviors. Parents that teach their children, don't drink, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't sleep around. They teach their children things like that. It will yield a better life for them, perhaps even a longer life. And it's not only a quantitative life, it's a qualitative life. It's a higher quality kind of life. That's why this commandment is here. That's why this fifth commandment is so important. And that's why the promise is so important. And so I want to tell you today, on this day that we nationally set aside as a day to honor mothers, I hope we can appreciate the quality of not just bringing children into the world. That's amazing all by itself. Not just that quality, but bringing children up in the Lord and teaching them those values that they'll need to live, honoring both God and the world round about them. The fifth commandment is clearly an important commandment. The fifth commandment affects all of the rest of our relationships that we'll ever have in this world. A person cannot be right with God above without being right without the people around us. And where being right with the people around us begins is at home. As father and mother are honored at home, and children learn at home to obey father and mother. That's the importance of this fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. It helps you be right with people around you. Helps you be right with God above. If you are not right with God this morning, and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ to be one of His, to wash away those sins, we offer this time here as we conclude our services that if you need to respond to become a New Testament Christian, we want you to know that we're here to help you. Having a right relationship to God means that you are in Christ. It means that you have done what the Bible teaches to wash away those sins from your life. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And that is made available to those who are believing individuals. And they are repenting individuals. And they are confessing individuals. And if you're needing to do that this morning, then we're here to help you with that. Maybe you just need to talk about it some more. We'll help you with that as well. Just now, as Alan leads us in this next song, and if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so. Well, right now, we stand and we sing together.